We're here. Amen. So, I think I have this little perk of going first because I'm the oldest, you know, and it's definitely an age before beauty moment. So how old am I? I happen to be old enough that when I first arrived in New York City to attend NYU Film School, I arrived a mere year after the Stonewall Uprising. And since, I'm the only one reading just one poem tonight, and I am the oldest, I hope you'll indulge me with this little prologue. Okay, I'm in New York. I lived in the Samuel Rubin International Residence Hall at NYU. It was at the corner of 10th Street and 5th Avenue, literally an 8-minute walk west to the Stonewall Inn at 53 Christopher Street. I was just beginning to question my sexuality, and in the straight all-girl world of my dorm, no one ventured west of 6th Avenue in their version of Greenwich Village. Neither were they curious about anyone not like themselves. Not me. One fall day in my freshman year, I walked west down Christopher Street all the way to the piers. I came back to my dorm room and couldn't stop talking about it. I began to slip across 6th Avenue, passing the Stonewall Inn with its then well-recognized vertical neon sign almost daily, eventually giving myself over completely to the gay men and lesbians I saw on West Village streets, the leather and taboo sex paraphernalia I ogled at in its store windows, and the drinking, dancing, drugging lifestyle I found in dyke bars like the Duchess and La Femme. When Joan approached me to read tonight, she asked if I might be willing to say something to give context to the anniversary we're commemorating. I quickly said yes, and then I realized that I didn't absolutely know enough. So I decided to do some research, and there was a book that was published this year, The Stonewall Reader. It's a great book. It's fascinating. It's a quick read. It's interviews and excerpts from various people who were witnesses. And as you all know, one of my projects, or not, I don't know if you all know, but some of you do, that one of my projects this past year has been writing found poems. And they're built, they're disassembled and then built again from texts in socially and politically relevant books that I've been reading. So I decided to apply that to the Stonewall Reader. And I've written something that is about 95% culled verbatim from its pages. And this poem attempts to fulfill Joan's request and hopefully give all of us here some feeling of what it was like to be at Stonewall that June weekend, the spirit of it, and what, in hindsight, are its lasting impressions. But before I read the poem, I'd just like to add that the Stonewall riots ushered in an unprecedented period of bold visibility for the LGBTQ community. We were no longer as fearful. We had each other. We entered a time of sustained self-celebration until 1981, when AIDS so horribly crashed the disco. New York City, for a few years, transcended mere commerce and entered the magical realm of fairyland. The city went broke, Watergate happened, Vietnam was a disaster, the Bronx burned, Son of Sam stalked the streets, the blackout of 77 brought looting and riots. But for me, the years from Stonewall to AIDS comprised one brief shining moment of queer perfection that will forever be known as the gay Camelot. I was so lucky to have been in Manhattan and come out during this time. All I can say is, you should have been there. Drink water. Drink Broken Radiance. This poem has an epitaph. Nobody thought of it as history, her story, my story, your story, or our story. We were being denied a place to dance together. That's all. And that's from Thomas Lanigan Schmidt, who is an artist and a veteran of Stonewall. It's Saturday, June 28, 1969, a very hot night. The mafia goons are at the door taking our money. Most of the booze is stashed in the trunk of an old Rambler down the block. There's no running water. Glasses are washed in filthy suds and reused. We're dancing to Sly and the Family Stone's Everyday People. It's either very, very late or very, very early, depending on your idea of 3 a.m. Dead from a Seconal overdose, our adored Judy Garland lies in cold repose 71 blocks north at the Frank E. Campbell Funeral Home. A cop grabs a drag queen's face, turns it to the light to see if it's a man or a woman. And if you know anything about drag queens, you know you never, never touch a drag queen's face. Never. It was a riot, an uprising, a revolution, an awakening, depending on your idea of these words. But it was not the first. There had been the Compton Cafeteria riot in San Francisco in 66, the Dewey's sit-in in Philly in 65, the Cooper Donuts riot in downtown LA in 59, among others. The drag queens and street kids who made these protests happen never documented them, so they've been widely erased by white, polo-shirted gays, too ashamed to embrace the bolder, more outrageous members of our community. Their whitewashed history has been accepted into popular culture because they've been the ones with access, connections, influence. But Stonewall, Compton, Dewey's all have one thing in common: drag queens and street kids. We were on the ground floor of the struggle for equality, and though some might have seen it as a sexual revolution, we saw it as defining ourselves. The Stonewall riots lasted 3 nights, 4 nights, or 6 days, depending on who you're talking to. Lesbian separatists, gay men in fairy communes, civil rights veterans, young queer radicals, hustlers, drag queens, trans activists like Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, and many like me who knew there was something out there for us, but didn't know what exactly. We were all united for the first time. So to the NYPD, thank you. Thank you for creating a unified LGBTQ community. Thank you for becoming the focal point for years of oppression that so many of us had to suffer growing up. You represented every institution of America at Stonewall: religion, media, medical, legal, even our families, all of whom had been keeping us in some kind of straight hell. We were so tired of it. Broken windows, burnt placards, smashed shop windows, a smoldering ash can. It was all very gay in the sense that sometimes your eye glimpsed a little piece of pink or green tulle. The street was littered with glass that when the sun started coming up, lamplights were catching it. It was absolutely magical. One of the most beautiful things I had ever seen. It was so, the riot was broken, but beautiful. I should have known that was a sign, an omen. Up till that moment, we had all thought homosexuality was a medical term. Suddenly, we saw that we could be a minority group with rights, a culture, an agenda. No one chooses the right symbolic occasion. One takes what's available. As my disapproving father put it, about time you fags did something. Those 7 or 8 people that were arrested did not make that riot. It was every fucking person that showed up in the thousands that made it. Some of us were arrested and beaten up all the time, you know? Pay it no mind, Marsha P. used to say. This time it took everybody as a community coming together saying, that's enough. Some don't like hearing that. They want to put themselves at the front of the barricade, leading the march, riding in the convertible. But I saw every shade, every color, every body image those nights. It was all of us together, you know. That's what I believe, what I feel in my heart. Don't let any history book, any movie, any screenplay tell you different. I'll tell you what we want now, we radical homosexuals. Not for you to tolerate or accept us, but to understand us. And this you can do only by becoming one of us. We want to reach the homosexuals entombed in you, to liberate our brothers and sisters locked in the prisons of your skulls. We want you to understand what it is to be our kind of outcast, to understand our kind of love, to hunger for your own sex. Unless you understand this, you will continue to look at us with uncomprehending eyes, fake liberal smiles. You will be incapable of loving us. We will never go straight until you go gay. As long as you divide yourselves, we will be divided from you, separated by a mirror trick of your mind. We will no longer allow you to drop us or the homosexuals in yourselves into the reject bin, labeled sick, childish, perverted. We will not wait. Your awakening may be a rude and bloody one. It's your choice. You will never be rid of us because we reproduce ourselves out of your bodies and out of your minds. We are one with you. Thank you.